On the evening of November 16 of 1965, that's just 3 weeks before the closing of the Second Vatican Council, 42 bishops gathered together to celebrate Mass. And following the Mass, they pledged to live like the poorest of their parishioners and adopt a lifestyle free of attachment to ordinary possessions. They called this the Pact. And the Pact said that they would try to live according to the ordinary manner of their ordinary people. And they renounced forever the appearance and the substance of wealth. And over the next few months, more than 500 additional bishops added their signatures to the Pact. That was November 16, 1965, it started. The original Pact of those 42 bishops was made in the catacombs of Domitilla. For it was in those catacombs where the early Christian martyrs were laid to rest when the church was without worldly power and existed in its simplest form. On October 20, 2019, it's a few days ago, the 180 bishops participating in the Synod on the Amazon gathered together in the catacombs of Domitilla, that same catacomb. And there they signed a pact renouncing worldly riches and the allure of titles and committing themselves to lives of simplicity after the way of Christ Jesus. Now, it is in this pact that the bishops made 64 years ago and just a few days ago that we are offered a lens by which we can experience this parable before us. The intention of the bishops was an expression of humility, but not for humility's sake, to commit themselves to simplicity and to renounce wealth and worldly titles makes them more present to hear the cries of the poor and the oppressed in their midst. For how easy it is for the leaders of our church to preach about the virtue of simplicity at cathedral pulpits, while on the doorsteps of those same cathedrals, the poor sleep. Or how easy it is for priests like myself to share how we are called to help those who are oppressed out in the world when the cries of the oppressed sit in our very own pews. And that's exactly what happens with the Pharisee in our parable that Jesus offers to his disciples, and for that matter, anyone convinced of their own righteousness, self-righteousness. By his own words, clearly we see that this Pharisee is a good and righteous man. He is a good Jewish man. He was doing everything correctly. He was following the rules. Yet one thing he lacked. He lacked the ability to hear the cries of his brother standing right there beside him in making noise about his own greatness, about his own righteousness. He drowns out the heartfelt cries of the person standing right beside him. And this, of course, as we know, is not the plan of our God. It's not the way of God. For as we hear from our first reading, and especially in our responsorial psalm, our God hears the cry of the poor, the oppressed. Our God hears the pleas of the orphan and the widow. Our God hears the prayer of the lowly. And our God removes the barriers that those prayers, so that those prayers and cries and pleas will rise to God's ears. And if God is a God who listens to the cry of the poor, the oppressed, those who are lowly, so we are called to do likewise. You know, in its history, Christianity has wrestled with what it means to be the church of the poor and of the oppressed. And at the Second Vatican Council, they actually came up with this phrase that the church is to have a preferential option for the poor. Yet through the same history, it has encountered saints, women, and men of God who have continually called the church back to the way of simplicity. And in the actions of the bishops in 1965 and just a few days ago, we are being reminded of our own call to remove the barriers, the earplugs, and whatever that does not allow us to listen, that keep us from hearing the cries of the children of God. And perhaps one of the most humbling experiences a person can truly have is when we actually spend time actively listening to another person's story. When was the last time we did that? Instead of trying to get the next word in, do we actually listen to others? Or how often do we ask for someone's name and converse with a stranger who is in need on the street, instead of simply passing them by, judging their life by the moment they find themselves in? And I know I'm guilty of this one. Though we may not be in the catacombs of Domitilla, but we are surrounded by the communion of saints, those before us who have heard the call of God and have answered. And with them, we are invited to make a pact, to live a life of simplicity, so that we don't drown out the cries of our neighbors, to renounce self-righteousness. Today we are invited to make a pact, to have a conversation with someone that we may need to forgive, or someone that we need to ask forgiveness from, and listen to their pain. Today the invitation is to make a pact, to remove our AirPods or earbuds or turn off the TV and actually have a time to share with one another at home. Today we are invited to make a pact, to renounce our own rumblings and our own egotistical thoughts and ask someone their name, their story, their hopes. Today we reject a tone-deaf response to the plight of those who are different than ours. Today, the invitation is to make a pact, to actively listen to the cries of the poor and the oppressed, to hear their stories and find a way to respond. Now, the easiest trap I find in my 31 years of existence is to fall to this temptation of being judgmental. It's so easy. One look, when it takes. One word. Brothers and sisters, we may not be in the catacombs of Domitilla, but today, as we gather around this Eucharistic meal, we make our pact to our God, to follow the way of Christ the Redeemer. We gather at this table like those early Christian martyrs, those bishops, and the many saints before us, and we commit ourselves to a life of simplicity, to a life renouncing self-righteousness, that we may hear the cry of our brothers and sisters. And through the intercession of Mary, our mother, as we continue to celebrate the month of the Rosary, may she always intercede for us and draw us closer to her Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.